Mom, it's here!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the what I like to call Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. Nice to have you here. It's been a great week. Everybody said that as of Labor Day, everybody's going to start taking their gloves off and start fighting. Well, it barely got to Labor Day, and all the gloves are off, and they're fighting. So it's been a very interesting week. Football season started in football. The silly season started in politics, and we're at the center of it all. Welcome, as I said before, to the Stoney Richards Live from the Center. And what we like to do always at the outset of the show, since this show originates in Pittsburgh and environs, wherever I've gone throughout the world, one of the things that is constant, even before we actually came here to Pittsburgh, is that I would see people wearing Steelers jerseys and Pirate hats and, to a lesser extent, Pittsburgh Penguin jerseys and things like that. It didn't make any difference where we were, in London, in Hawaii, in Utah, in Florida, in Rehoboth Beach, all over the place, wherever you go, there are a lot of expatriates, ex-Pitt Pats, as I like to call them, because obviously Pittsburgh has undergone quite a change. And a lot of people have left, a lot of people have come back, but a lot of people, you know, the teams you grow up with are what you hold for your life many times, you know. I grew up in Detroit. I don't consider myself a Detroit Tiger fan, but I always check the standings to see how they're doing. So I got a lot of information from folks and a lot of queries from people who listen to the radio show as to what's going on in Pittsburgh. So what I thought we would do, and we want to continue it on the podcast here, is our weekly letter from home. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is time now for our weekly letter from home, because no matter how far away you roam, there's simply no place like home. Pittsburgh was all abuzz this week for two reasons. The Pirates are going to make this one of the most interesting fall seasons in years. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are going to make this one of the more interesting falls this season. I'm reminded of an old David Clayton Thomas song with blood, sweat, and tears, the lyric that goes, "What goes up must come down." Yes, while the Pirates are lost in a pennant race, a wild card berth, and a possible World Series appearance, the Steelers are, well, just lost. It's not wrong. It's just hard on Steeler fans. Somehow the brats and beer just don't taste as good when you're headed into an 8-8 season, or worse. Speaking of seasons, wow, fall sure came in like a lion. Well, actually, if it was a lion, I would have personally given that dentist guy who shot Cecil a permit to gladly get this one. I mean, one day it's a string of 91-degree afternoons, and the next day it's fall, and in the 60s with a huge amount of rain in between. And it's always on these cool days that follow a storm that the climate change guys come out and say, "See, I told you, we're no warmer now than," well, yeah, you know the rest. Mayor Peduto, and for those of you ex-Pitt Pats around the world on the World Wide Web, yes, our mayor's name is Peduto, in case you're not familiar. He's a good guy who happens to love hockey. Well, the beloved Penguins may be for sale by now owners Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle, but the mayor says if you sell this team to somebody else, the city of Pittsburgh would like a cut of the profits because we built you an arena. Gulp. Well, you got us there, seems to be the unexclaimed response. On the other hand, closer to home, I cut my hay, previously known as lawn, just before the storms. Bought some apples that I can say after a Richards taste test were not ready, had probably the last hard plum of the season, and gave some serious thought to ordering some firewood, yes, in the east here in Pittsburgh. With that in mind, I also made some plans to visit L.A. and Florida in the coming months. Just goes with the seasons, I guess. I'm Stoney Richards, and that's this week's Letter from Home. Because as we always say, no matter how far away you roam, there simply is no place like home. you're caught up to date on what's going on at home. We'll go around the world. It is the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast, and welcome to it. Every once in a while, more often than not, we don't have time to listen to the news. You don't get all the stories. You don't know everything that's going on. How could you possibly? And that's why I sit in front of a computer all day and all night long. Something we like to call, did you hear the news today? And maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but we were talking about Labor Day from last week from Darlington, South Carolina. Throwback paint schemes on race cars and retro logos and signs welcome NASCAR fans. When they arrived at Darlington Raceway this weekend for the Bojangles Southern 500 Sprint Cup race, the marketing campaign was designed to make one of the most storied tracks on the circuit look like the early 1970s. All over again. Fans were more than happy to complete the picture, much to NASCAR's dismay. The Confederate flags they raised on RVs across the infield and outside the track dotted the sky above Darlington on Friday morning, as they have for decades. The Southern 500, after all, was long known for playing Dixie as its anthem and used to feature a character named Johnny Reb, a man dressed as a Confederate soldier who stood atop the winning car with a rebel flag. As those Confederate flags waved once more on Friday, NASCAR faced its recurring quandary. How could a sport so closely associated with its Southern roots broaden its appeal nationally without alienating that base? You don't want to alienate your base. Ooh! It hurts. I'd say we're always looking to make sure we're satisfying our core fans and our long-term fan at the same time as we are growing to a new audience, Jim Cassidy, NASCAR Senior Vice President for Racing Operations, said Thursday during a telephone interview. It's a balance. Of course, it's a balance. And Darlington Raceway, as much as any track on the circuit, epitomizes the struggle NASCAR has faced in trying to find that balance with an event that holds a special place in racing history. The Southern 500, first held at Darlington on Labor Day weekend in 1950, for 53 years, it was an iconic stop on the race circuit. I think our great race fans in South Carolina support this racetrack, said track president Chip Weil. Certainly, we want to make a big splash in our return to Labor Day weekend, and I think we'll do that. But officials determined not to make a scene at the same time with Confederate flags in clear view during the race broadcast. After all, NASCAR chairman Brian France declared that Confederate flags were no longer welcome at tracks after a mass shooting at a church in Charleston in June. When the series shifted to Daytona in July, track officials came up with an exchange program. They offered American flags to replace the Confederate flags there. Good idea. Weil said the same program would be in place at Darlington as well. Not exactly what happened on Friday, though, as track workers ask fans to take down their flags, the reason given, they blocked sight lines across the track. Fans didn't buy it. If they're saying it gets in the way, people can't see across the track, how come they got flags on all the race car drivers' haulers, said Tyler Harris, 24, of Reidsville, North Carolina, pointing to the many American flags that still waved. On and on and on it went. I think it was probably put together very nicely by NBC broadcaster and longtime driver Kyle Petty. He says, one of those things, you got to be careful what you wish for. We wished for a bigger sport. We dreamed of a bigger sport. We dreamed of Chicago and Kansas and Dallas and Texas and L.A., and we dreamed of those markets when we were running North Wilkesboro and Darlington and Rockingham and Martinsville and places like that. And then all of a sudden you have those markets, but there's a sacrifice to be made in those markets. And I think NASCAR looked at it and said, let's change some of this stuff around. But I give them huge credit for realizing what we had was just as special and coming back to it. Perhaps not the final word on that. Then there's this, a pillow fight between freshman cadets at the United States Military Academy took a violent turn when cadets swung pillowcases packed with hard objects at each other. 30 cadets were injured, including 24 that suffered concussions, the New York Times reported. The brawl took place August 20th, was part of an annual pillow fight between freshman cadets. The Times reported that West Point did not confirm the fight until the following Thursday. Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Kasker, spokesman for the Academy, said all the cadets have been returned to duty, the Times reported. The yearly pillow fight is organized as a sort of rite of passage to celebrate the freshman cadets' completion of summer training, Kasker told the Times. I see if you don't make it through that, you just don't make it. He said older cadets required the incoming freshmen to wear helmets, though video and photos of the incident on social media show that many did not. I mean, what? They're going to put something in a pillowcases? I'm not wearing a helmet. West Point applauds the cadets' desire to build esprit and regrets the injuries to our cadets, Kasker told the Times. We are conducting appropriate investigations into the causes of the injuries. Perhaps an anvil in a pillowcase would be sufficient. Kasker told the newspaper that no cadets have been punished and there are no plans to end the tradition. Well, now, my friends, thank you all for finding the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. And we come to the portion of our show where it's time for some of the dramatis personae.
Maybe telling white lies. They wanna run the nation, the Kim Kardashians.
It is time now for another exciting adventure of the Clintdashians. In today's episode, Hillary and Bill sit down for the talk.
Oh gosh darn it.
Say, Hill, what's the matter now?
Oh, you know, Bill, same old, same old. I'm trying to send an email, and the FBI keeps cutting in on a pop-up, and I keep getting tweets from Fox News, and...
Hey, honey, give it a rest. You're the front runner.
Not anymore, Bill. This email thing is...
is something to talk about when there's nothing else to talk about.
Well, you just do this kind of stuff so much better than I do, Bill.
Oh, listen, Hill, don't let him get you, Hill. There's plenty to talk about. There's Benghazi and lying about under fire in the Middle East and Vince Foster and Whitewater.
It's okay, Bill. I got it.
Hold on. Hold on. I got a call. Yeah. Hello. Bill, this is huge. I got a picture of Carly Fiorina, and I just want to know what you think, because they're giving me grief about this.
Donald, I think you need to apologize, and
never. They should apologize to me. They think I'm out of order? They think I'm out of order? They're out of order! You laughing at me? You think I'm funny? Funny, ha ha!
Who is it, Bill?
Oh, gee, Hillary. Nobody important.
Well, nobody important, eh? Well, we'll see about that. And by the way, do you think I'm funny? Find out in our next exciting episode of The Clintdashians.
They're always making headlines, maybe telling white lies. They wanna run the nation, the Kim Kardashians.
Well, there it is, folks. Another perfectly, wonderfully timed 20 minutes of your life that you may never get back. But we're not finished yet. It's Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. Many of the things that you hear on the podcast are things that I've done on my radio shows over the years and have kind of always traveled with me no matter where I've been. And I got to tell you, it's fun being able to do it as a podcast because we don't have to stop for commercials. We don't have to worry about, oh, we're never going to get this in. We've got all this time. And so rather than take up more of your time, we'll just keep it going because one of the things that I guess I've been doing for maybe 20 years now, well, even longer than that, because, and if I may do a little background on this, this started way back years ago, oh gosh, 25 years ago, 20 years ago in Los Angeles, 25 years ago in Los Angeles, we do a sports feature called The Final Word. And then as I moved, we came to Pittsburgh, and we couldn't do that anymore, or I stopped doing it. I forget how it went away. But anyway, I decided we would continue it under another name. So under the alias, we picked it up and have been doing this. I've been doing this now for 20-some years. And as I have always said on my live radio program, and now moving into the world of pods and casts, it is time, ladies and gentlemen, once again for the evening sports dish. So let's get right to it, shall we? This is the season for the sports fan. The NFL is in full swing. Colleges are getting upsets in game after game, as you witnessed last weekend. The talk is of pennant races in baseball and hockey. Yes, hockey is ready to start camp. September 18th for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So to get in the mood, we visited the new Lemieux Sports Center and Penguins training facility in Cranberry, Pennsylvania this past week. And oh, what a place. It just opened a few weeks ago. Now, being devout hockey fans, we were not loud, boisterous, or obnoxious as we usually are at games. We were humble, quiet, and respectful. I swear if there had been a holy water font at the door, we would have dipped our fingers and signed ourselves. For the Lemieux Sports Center is what it's called, and it is a sanctuary for hockey players and fans alike. There's something about two newly laid, hardly skated sheets of NHL-approved jet ice that glistens in the humidity-controlled air conditioning of a new rink. Hardly any marks on the new sparkling white boards adorned with sponsors and glass towering above with hardly a scuff on them glistening against the shafts of sunlight and overhead high-intensity quartz game lights. The smell is a mixture of ammonia and rubber and cold metal. The locker rooms are clean as a linesman's whistle. Showers seemingly untouched by nasty pickup games or high school freshman tryouts. This is the Penguins practice facility, but it is shared with the community and our various other hockey teams, be it high school, college, or adult leagues or pickups. The thing that is so devout about the place is that it is only a separation of 1 degree, or actually 18 degrees if you take a temperature of the ice, from the real thing, the NHL Pittsburgh Penguins. It would be like working out with the Pittsburgh Pirates in Bradenton or the Pittsburgh Steelers on the south side. There's just something about a newly opened hockey rink, though, and especially one like this. Snack bars, wood-grilled pizzas, Starbucks, real energy drinks, and fruit, just like Sidney Crosby and Marc-Andre Fleury and Gary Roberts eat. Yes, Gary Roberts. He is the new Penguins training coach. You almost hope as you walk through the facility that Gary is going to drop in to tell you to drop down for 30 push-ups and 40 lunges. WWGD, what would Gary do, was the slogan the Penguin fans adopted a few years back before he left. Now, if Monsieur Lemieux is the Monsignor, Gary Roberts is certainly the pastor. And I say amen to that. I'm Stoney Richards, and that's sports from my vantage point. High in the booth! Let's get out there and hit some people! Well, and let me give you a chance to clear your ears out after that. And we have time for one more, and it certainly wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't get to our sorries of the week.
And now, the Who's Sorry Now segment of the Stoney Richards Live from the Center radio broadcast.
Actually, it's the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast, but who are we to argue? And this, you probably have heard this story, maybe not in its entirety. The New York Times ran a story about it. LA Times reprinted it. And a lot of people, Rick Rojas and Nate Schwaber, contributed reporting in this story that happened in New York City this past week. A New York Police Department officer was stripped of his gun and badge as Mayor Bill de Blasio and Police Commissioner William J. Bratton issued swift apologies Thursday for the rough arrest of James Blake, the retired tennis star, after he was misidentified as a suspect in a fraudulent credit card ring. Criticism swirled over whether Mr. Blake had been mistreated because he was biracial, but it was Mr. Bratton's acknowledgement that excessive force may have been used when an officer threw him to the ground that put a renewed national focus on the everyday arrest tactics long criticized by members of minority groups. The officers failed to report the mistaken arrest as they were required to do, raising the possibility that it would not have come to light had Mr. Blake not spoken out. The incongruity of a Harvard-educated professional athlete being manhandled by six white plainclothes officers on a sidewalk in Midtown Manhattan quickly became an embarrassment for the police department and a headache for Mr. de Blasio, exposing the kind of unprovoked aggression that he and elected leaders across the country have sought to stamp out. The officer's decision to throw an unarmed, compliant man to the ground, added to the sense that black people are often roughed up by the police out of view, with few resources to bring attention to their grievances. In a sign of the shifting discourse on race and policing, Mr. de Blasio and Mr. Bratton moved with unusual speed to contact Mr. Blake to apologize. But the gestures also raised questions about whether they would have moved so swiftly if the encounter had not involved a well-known figure. This shouldn't have happened, and he shouldn't have been treated that way, Mr. de Blasio said in an interview on NY1 on Thursday, echoing remarks made earlier by Mr. Bratton. By late Thursday, Mr. Bratton had conveyed his apology in a conversation with Mr. Blake, and Mr. de Blasio had exchanged text messages with Mr. Blake. Actions of the officer James Frascatori were under review by internal affairs investigators and the Civilian Complaint Review Board. At least three force-related complaints, one of which was partially substantiated, were filed against Officer Frascatori 38 with the review board in 2013, said a law enforcement official who spoke anonymously because the police inquiry was continuing. Video of the arrest reviewed by the authorities revealed how a botched sting operation had ensnared a sports celebrity, resulting in his being body slammed at the sidewalk, according to his account, and handcuffed for 15 minutes on Wednesday afternoon. The team of officers looking for suspects in a credit card fraud ring were relying on a courier who identified Mr. Blake as one of the buyers, the police said. The officers also had an Instagram photo of someone believed to be involved. That person, who Mr. Bratton said looked like Mr. Blake's twin brother, turned out to have no role in the scheme. Officer Frascatori then ran toward Mr. Blake and knocked him to the ground, raising concerns about the inappropriateness of the amount of force that was used during the arrest, Mr. Bratton said. This happens too often, Mr. Blake said, and most of the time it's not to someone like me. A mistake is a mistake, the law enforcement official said, but he added, part of the art of making a mistake like this is how you leave that mistake. The official said it did not appear that Officer Frascatori ever explained things to Mr. Blake or apologized.
You're sorry now.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, as a good friend of mine once said, it was fun, but now we're done. Yes, we have reached an end. Yes, we have reached an end. We are all finished with our podcast. I just want to thank our musical director, Johnny Greco. Thank you very much, Johnny, and our creative director, the lovely Kelly Pigeon. And we will have more for you on our next broadcast, the Stoney Richards Live from the Center, Say It With Me Class podcast. And all you got to do is act naturally.